Yeah, we've been tackling all the big ones, and we're going to, I think, be shortly talking to Chris Black about two important matters that I know he can enlighten us on. And are you there, Chris?
Hi, Phil. I am. Yeah. How
Well,
you doing?
thanks an awful lot for joining us. You've written about. I want to ask you about two things, of course: the Burundi matter in Africa, and also this curious piece of legislation I hate to use the name, but Magnitsky Act. But starting with Burundi, since after all, you won a very important case at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. You've, of course, practiced at The Hague, so as I like to say, you know whereof you speak. What do you think of Burundi's decision to leave the International Criminal Court?
Well, it's totally justified and probably necessary to highlight how political the ICC has become. It was obvious from the beginning, but the case against Burundi was seemed to be concocted by the United States and Kagame in Rwanda, who didn't like the Burundian government for all sorts of their own reasons. And Burundi recognized that the case was being concocted and charges fabricated, and there was no reason to pursue it. And we've had the examples of Gbagbo, Blaise Goudé, whose arrest was, and there's no case, his case has collapsed against Gbagbo in the last 6 months. Kenyatta, they
Now,
tried the
that's a
same thing against
shock,
him.
right? Mr. Gbagbo, who the United Nations helped overthrow him.
In fact,
They even used their own helicopters.
and I was just the last few days sent an email in the Ocampo leaks by an Italian journalist who, which is an email from Stéphane Gompertz of the French government, who was a director of African Affairs in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, to La Frappeur de Hélène Beatrice, who is the UN ambassador, UN staff, French UN staff in the United Nations, and saying that on April 11th, the Ocampo had requested that Gbagbo be arrested by Ouattara and kept in arrest, even though there was no charges, no investigation opened. He wasn't even charged till October, 5 months later. So it's quite clear that they agreed, that the ICC agreed to use itself as a political tool to kidnap somebody, the head of state, and hold him.
It's corruption of the worst kind. I mean, these are guys who
Staggering, actually.
They participate in a manipulative process to remove an elected head of state in Africa.
It's a mafia, really.
No,
And
that's.
there's copies, and then Gompertz then copies all these French advisors, Charles Hufnagel, Axel Cruau, Jérôme Brisson. They're all senior government, French government officials. And the thing is that French troops are moving in to take Gbagbo imminently.
So it's just an enabling device at that point
It's
for
just an
regime
enabling device.
change.
So he's being kidnapped, arrested, forcibly detained, and kidnapped, and moved. Kept pushed out of the picture so they can put their man in.
Well, now, on the case in Burundi, I've always wondered, you must think about this. It's almost, I don't understand why these governments decided even to play along to be part of this court when governments like the United States say, well, this has nothing to do with us, and they sit on the sidelines. If someone announces that he can't be arrested, but you can, it seems to me he has sovereignty, but if you agree to the process, you don't.
And I think most African countries had high hopes for the ICC, as we all did initially, that perhaps it could be a force for good in the world, and all the African countries signed on, or most of them. But now I think the African Union's official position is that they should all leave. And South Africa's announced it's going to leave. I think Gambia, Burundi just left, and there are other countries speaking about leaving. Because they recognize it's accused of being racist, but it's not quite that. It's because they're only charging African leaders, but only African leaders who stand in the way of the West. They don't charge Kagame or Museveni or other guys who've massacred millions of people. They're left alone and protected. But so that's what they see. So.
No, it's been a sorry story from the beginning. It's very much to their credit that they spotted the predator before he bit them. And
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to say Burundi is setting the example for Africa. They're going to be, you know,
well,
who
think,
in Africa is
going to
disagree?
The Burundian government had some advice from some very good Canadian lawyers on that, too.
Yeah. I knew there was a secret ingredient.
I'm sure there was something like that.
But it's very interesting you would raise Mr. Kagame because he, of course, understands that he's protected. But my guess is he will play a kind of cowardly role. He's not going to go around saying, oh, no, you should prosecute him, because he himself doesn't really – hopes that he's not on anybody's list.
Right, and he doesn't ask. He's not one of the ones in the African nations saying Rwanda's going to pull out because he knows he's protected.
Yes.
But he doesn't want to pull out of the African Corps because he doesn't trust them.
Yeah, that's right. There was some action in the case of Diane it was the first woman candidate, Victoire.
Yeah,
and she went to an African court, and the day that it was supposed to start, they announced that they're no longer there.
Right. Yeah, Victoire and Ngabire, I guess. That's right.
This is going to be, for those who have the capacity for dialectical thought, they're going to have to watch this very closely.
Yes, we do.
Who's exposed and who is not.
Exactly.
This is Chris Black. And by the way, this is CIUT, the Taylor Report. And I want to remind you, you can call at 416-946-7800 and become a member. And we urge you to do so. And Chris, we have this other matter that I want to make sure our listeners hear about. You wrote about this in Near Eastern
Outlook. Right.
And it's Near Eastern, right?
Yeah, and they call it New Eastern Outlook.
Right. New Eastern Outlook. And the Canadian government has fallen in the parliament, decided to make the same kind of legislation as their big brother and father and mother. The United States had this piece of legislation which is punitive towards members of the Russian government. Based on the so-called human rights violations and corruption, this should make us a laughing stock, shouldn't it? Where is the legal proof that they even know what they're talking about? How do you test Canada's evidence when it's a Russian phenomena? We're talking about who's corrupt in Russia, who was prosecuted, who might have been harmed.
Right.
How do you know?
But yeah, that's one issue on that level is, supposing they could do this, where is the proof of any of this corruption? Mm-hmm. And it's also against Maduro. And
yes, they put the Maduro wrinkle in.
Right, and the law is written in very general terms, so it looks like it's applied universally. But in fact, they've only applied it against Venezuela, Russia, and Sudan for some reason. We don't know why, really.
You speculated, I think, quite rightly. Yeah. I'm glad you did speculate. It's pretty much a showpiece, a little bit of a show trial kind of thinking. Well, let's make sure we've charged somebody else, a third party. How about Sudan? That'll work.
Yeah, that make it look like they're being fair, universally applying it. But they could have charged Tony Blair or Trump himself or any of the American presidents or Canadian British leaders or foreign leaders who were involved in corruption and human rights. There were thousands of them. They could have charged many of them, but they don't. They charge Maduro, who's, as I said in my article, has spent his entire lifetime fighting corruption by the rich financiers in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin, who, for all his pros and cons, has done more to fight corruption in Russia than anybody since the Soviet Union existed.
They were celebrating Mr. Yeltsin, who was perpetually intoxicated and opened the doors to anybody who wanted to fleece the country.
Exactly.
They loved him.
Right, and he killed them in the Duma attack in 1993 in Moscow. Thousands of people were killed by that government. And there's been nothing done about that. So it's not about corruption and human rights. It's to go along with what the Americans want, which is to make Russia look bad in the eyes of the people and generate the mood for war or justification for a war.
Yeah. No, it is a scandal. One of the things we remarked on in this program is that at least in the United States Congress, four members of the Senate said they didn't agree with the so-called Magnitsky Act.
Right.
And 20 members of their Congress.
Yeah.
In Canada, it was like a bunch of lemmings. It was 277 without a nay vote.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, dismaying. There was no resistance whatsoever. It's just everybody's in lockstep, like little mice.
You make the argument in your article in New Eastern Outlook. Really, this is just shows the loss of sovereignty or even desire for sovereignty on the part of the most powerful in Canada.
Yeah, because what benefit do we get from our alliance with the United States? We're being beaten up in the in these trade negotiations. We get nothing. And what are we doing except kowtowing to the United States and risking our sovereignty for their purposes?
Mm-hmm.
What does it do for us?
Yeah, at a time, the headlines are so contradictory. On one day, we're hearing that Freeland and the Prime Minister are feeling miserable because Trump has insulted them to their face and asked them to pay for their lunch at the meetings. And then the next day, they're falling all over themselves to endorse this strange piece of legislation in the name, by the way, I mean, it's being pushed by a man named Browder,
who
gave up his American citizenship because he didn't want to pay taxes.
Yes.
And he's a hedge fund manager.
Right.
This is nuts.
Yeah, we can see where it's all about money, that the Canadian government, run by the financiers and the corporate trust that always has been, is doing whatever it can to advance their interests, not ours.
Yeah.
And if that means kowtowing to them to avoid being hit more with the stick, that's what they do.
Yeah.
It doesn't benefit the Canadian people at large, no.
Yeah. Now, they could, by the way, if they don't like oligarchs, they worry about corruption, this offshore hedge fund, not hedge fund, tax haven, the so-called Paradise Papers, you'd think there'd be a lot of Canadians they could probably use this legislation against and perhaps even freeze their travel rights, right? Don't let them fly.
Yeah, they could do that.
Don't let them leave the country because they were found to be hiding their money and apparently in collusion with politicians who did that for kickback.
Yeah, I just saw a YouTuber, a Belgian MP, try to shut him down in Parliament. He was saying that the Paradise Papers, you know, you make a big noise about it, you people and the government here, but what do you do to stop it? Nothing.
Yes.
You make more loopholes for these people. Meanwhile, so the rich keep storing their money away, they pay no taxes, and you can. And then there's a revelation, so everybody feels good for a while, but then it goes on even worse.
Yeah. Well, Chris Black, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for all
you
that.
Too.
And New Eastern Outlook, your article, I hope people will turn to this. We need more such articles, and we appreciate talking to you.
And you too, and I hope your campaign goes well.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this is CIT Taylor Report, 416-946-7800. I know you want to get busy and get on that phone because you want to be a member, and we can appreciate your enthusiasm. You can call us from Singapore or New York at 1-888-204-8976. I think we're going to take a quick break. We will come back, and we will talk some more, and then we will be speaking to Keith Boulder about 5:40.